Afternoon, and welcome to workshop F2, focused on human papillomavirus vaccine uptake in the United States. My name is Robin Curtis, and I'm your moderator today. I work at CDC, and I'm just delighted to be here with you today. We have three very interesting presentations, but as you all well know by now, only about an hour's worth of time. So to make the most of our time today, we'll go through all three presentations and then have questions thereafter. None of our speakers have disclosures, so we'll just move on and get right on into the presentations. Our first speaker is Dr. Noelle Molinari. Dr. Molinari received her doctorate degree in economics from Wayne State University, where she received several awards for her work. She's been at CDC now for about 8 years and currently works as a mathematical statistician. She'll be talking with us today about national data from the 2007 National Immunization Survey TEEN, and we're very pleased to have her with us. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Molinari.
Okay, so I guess my only disclosure is that the findings and conclusions in this presentation are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the views of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As all of you know, I'm sure the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommended this vaccine in June of 2006, the quadrivalent vaccine for females. Sorry, is that better? The ACIP, or Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, recommended this quadrivalent vaccine in June of 2006. It's a three-dose series recommended routinely for females aged 11 to 12 and those 13 to 26 for catch-up. It's a costly vaccine, $130.27 currently per dose. In the private sector, that's the cost to the provider. The cost for CDC is $100.59. So the three-dose series, you're talking pretty expensive, right? The objective of this analysis was to examine HPV initiation among female teens in the U.S. in 2007 and identify factors that are related to this HPV initiation, including income and poverty status, health insurance status, and access to care. And here I define access to care by provider type and utilization by the teen. Our National Immunization Survey for Teens, or NIS Teen, in 2007 was fourth quarter national data only. It's a random digit dial survey, and the Castro response rate was 56%, with an interview completion rate of 84%. Now, just so you know, the Castro response rate is a combination of the resolution rate, the phone number resolved as a working residential number, times the screening rate, times the interview completion rate. This survey also includes a follow-up provider record check that's conducted by mail, and the provider response rate is 89%. So our sample size is 1,441 females with provider-reported vaccination histories. It's a nationally representative sample of U.S. teens aged 13 through 17 and includes information on the insurance status of the teen, parent and provider-reported well child exams and vaccination coverage, as well as demographics. We used Sudan software to calculate vaccine uptake and to identify factors that were associated with HPV vaccine initiation. And by initiation, we mean one or more HPV vaccines as reported by the provider. We used bivariate tests to examine association, including symbologistic regression. And we report, for purposes of statistical significance, the Wald-F chi-squared and unadjusted odds ratios. And note that these unadjusted odds ratios are not adjusted for anything. I'm not controlling for anything here. These are simply bivariate results. So with our sample size of 1,441 females, 71% had not received any HPV vaccine, and 29% had received one or more vaccines. Variables that showed no evidence of association, and these are variables that had a p-value greater than 15%. Were age, foreign-born status of the teen, the language in which the interview was conducted, whether or not the teen had moved since birth or their mobility, the teen's grade in school, an asthma diagnosis, which we would be using as a proxy for health status or the risk status of the child, and the number of providers, which proxies for scattering of care. Variables that indicated a possible association were the census region, metropolitan statistical area, race, ethnicity of the child, and the mother's education. The next few slides are going to be these types of graphs, okay? The referent graph is the one that I'm comparing all the others to. The WALDEF is reported in the upper left-hand corner. That indicates whether the variable overall shows an association with HPV vaccine initiation. I report the odds ratios and the p-values for those odds ratios in the rectangle for each level of the variable, okay? So here, this is census region. As expected, everyone compared to the Northeast is lower in terms of vaccine uptake or coverage, with the Midwest and South being the lowest and the West being slightly higher. Metropolitan statistical area, defined here as a central city, which is the referent, the non-central city or suburban area, and then what is not an MSA or a rural area. As we move further away from the city, we see that vaccine coverage tends to decline. That's not unexpected. Race ethnicity was not significant. You can see with that WALDEF, the p-value is 13. It's not significant. We did see that Hispanics had a somewhat higher vaccine coverage compared to whites, and that also was not expected, although not statistically significant. As our sample size increases, when we add the 2008 data, we expect some of these things will become more significant. Mothers' education, compared to mothers that had less than 12 years of school, none of these were significant, but we do see that as mothers' education increases, vaccine uptake did tend to increase, and the variable overall was significant. Continuing with variables with possible association, access to care defined by provider type, we look at facility type, the type of facility, whether it's public, private, or mixed, and provider specialty, pediatrics, general family practice, and then other specialties. Utilization, which is parent-reported receipt of the 11 or 12-year well-child checkup, and then parent-reported number of visits in the past 12 months, which can also proxy for health status as well as healthcare utilization. And then household income and health insurance status. Here's provider facility type. Significant overall as well as compared to all child that visited all public provider facilities. The all private was higher, and then those that visited multiple types was higher as well, although not significantly different from all private. Sorry. This is provider specialty. Compared to pediatrics, general family practice was not significantly different. Other specialty, which includes OBGYN, was substantially lower, but this was a very small number of girls that had these kinds of providers. For the well-child checkup, we see that children that did have an 11 or 12-year-old well-child checkup, and of course, these are children that tended to fall outside the range that would have been eligible for the HPV vaccine. Even so, these children who had a well-child checkup were significantly more likely to have also received the vaccine at least once. So provider contact is associated with coverage. The number of provider contacts. As the number of provider contacts go up, we see that HPV coverage rises as well. With health insurance, if we use health insurance type to proxy for the out-of-pocket cost to the patient, then as the out-of-pocket cost rises, HPV coverage declines, and this is what we would expect as well. This is income. Income is a little bit hazy because we don't have a lot of observations, only 1,441, and of course our effective sample size is substantially smaller than that once we account for clustering and stratification. But there's a sort of a U-shaped relationship here, which indicates that it's likely that we have a nonlinear relationship between vaccination coverage and income. But what I'm seeing here is that as income rises, coverage tends to rise, and the U-shape may indicate what's happening in this 50 to 75,000 category. What I'm seeing here is people that are falling out of public provided insurance, and there's a period of uninsurance followed by a period of underinsurance before their income rises enough that they're falling then into the private coverage category, okay? So in summary, provider type may be important. Children that had all public facilities tended to have lower coverage than those that had all private facilities or mixed facility types. Other specialty providers, which was a small category, small number of children that fell into that category, but they did have significantly lower coverage than those that saw pediatricians. With utilization was associated with higher coverage of the vaccine. Those that had a well child visit and those that had more provider contacts tended to have higher coverage or higher vaccine initiation. For the insured, public insurance tend to be associated with higher coverage than private insurance, and this is probably because public insurance of the vaccine tends to precede private insurance of the vaccine. Once public insurance is covering a vaccine, then private insurance will go ahead and pick up the vaccine, but there's a lag associated with that. Those that were not insured at all tended to have low coverage. This could be because either they don't realize that they're covered by vaccines for children, or they realize that even though vaccines for children will pay for that $130 shot, it doesn't necessarily cover the administration fee or the well child visit fee. There's a price effect that we're seeing. A high out-of-pocket cost of the vaccine is associated with low coverage, and this is what we would expect. Income, we're seeing what is likely to be a U-shaped relationship, which I think indicates this under or uninsurance effect, also reflecting that price effect. As income rises, you lose access to public insurance, and you're gaining access to private insurance, but there's a lag, and initially the private insurance that you're gaining access to is poor coverage or poor quality. Next steps for analysis, we're going to add the 2008 data. This will give us lots more observations. Instead of having 1,400, we'll have more like 5,000, 6,000 observations. And I intend to look at HPV coverage over time, uptake over time by quarter. I'll have 5 quarters of data so I can see what happens over time in terms of uptake. And with the multivariate model, we can adjust for selection, which we expect will bias our results. The selection is biasing our results right now, which is why I'm not reporting multivariate results. And focus in on what's happening with provider type as well as utilization. I want to continue to examine the relationship between insurance and utilization of care. And we're doing this in a separate study that looks at teen healthcare utilization with the NIS. What factors affect insurance status and how insurance status influences access to care? Thank you.